Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, January 13th, 2016. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. All right, today's Dad Show is going to be something just a little different, and one of the reasons it's coming out a little late is because it's a little different kind of assembly here for me, but today I'm going to be talking to myself. We're going to bring you on the Dad Show a trip report, like we like to do on the Dad Show, on the midweek show. But this one's a little bit different because I also recorded quite a bit of audio at various points during the Diz Dads Club convention. And so you'll get input from a lot of the other guys who were there enjoying the experience along with me. So we'll do part one of the Diz Dads Club convention trip report tonight. And then part two will come out on Sunday in the form of Sunday's panel show. So I think that altogether, you'll get a composite of my own impressions as well as the field recordings we took from a lot of the guys who were participating. And hopefully that will entice you to join us next year, because we'll be back for our fifth anniversary Diz Dads Club convention next year, and it should be bigger and better than ever. So this year, the Diz Dads Club convention started for me bright and early on Wednesday morning. I had an early morning flight, and I like to take that flight because it gives me the whole day when I get to Walt Disney World to, get a lot of enjoyment out of that arrival day. I always forget, however, how exhausted I am when I get there. So true to form, got on my flight bright and early, didn't have any real problems with the flight, but was a little wiped out when I arrived. So I ended up checking in at Old Key West, where I was going to be staying with Terry Hawkins and Jeff Fry and Matt Birchfield, and just kind of relaxing there for a while. I did make an ADR at Disney Springs at the new Morimoto Asia. And so relaxed until that dinner reservation was kind of getting ready to come up, headed into Disney Springs, decided to check out Jock Lindsey's Hangar Bar because I had a little bit of time there before Morimoto's and was waiting for the rest of the gang to meet me. So I enjoyed sort of a late lunch appetizer there and some drinks. Really enjoyed Jock Lindsey's quite a bit. It's a great atmosphere there. The appetizer I had was the good dates, and it was very tasty. I enjoyed it a lot. There was some spice to it. I'm really liking the fact you'll hear us talk about it several times during this extended podcast, that really we noticed several restaurants that were new ones at Walt Disney World this time around seem to be giving us some real spice in the food again. And it had seemed like that had been bled out of the food quite a bit at Walt Disney World lately. So it was good to see. Enjoyed the good dates, made some jokes with the bartender there about how they could tell they were good dates and the poor monkeys in the back. But all in all, we had a good time chatting, and the food was good. The experience was great. The atmosphere there is really wonderful. And, I got my monkey head mug, which was really the important part for me. Although the sort of rum punch that comes in that the cool monkey brain drink, it was actually really good. Wasn't overly sweet like those rum punches can be. It's a watermelon rum punch, and it was very tasty. So hung out there for a while, headed on over to Morimoto as it got closer to time for our reservation. Jeff Swearingen had hooked up with me there at Jock. Once his wife Erica arrived, we went ahead and headed over to Morimoto Asia, and were shortly there joined by Joe Masters and Terry, who were joining us for dinner. And of course, Elias was there as well, but he doesn't eat much yet. This first audio clip is Terry and me and Matt Birchfield and Jeff Fry at breakfast at Olivia's at Old Key West, talking about that arrival day on Wednesday and kind of getting each other caught up.
All right, so we're experimenting with doing some live recording that I'll cut together into an episode of the podcast later. So I'm sitting here with at DizDads Convention 4. This is our first DizDads Convention recording. Sitting here with Jeff and Matt and Terry, and we're at Olivia's at Old Key West waiting to have some breakfast. So far, gentlemen, really all we have to talk about is arrival stuff, right? We had some travel challenges, but Jeff, you seem to have survived okay.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, Southwest treated me kindly, even though one of the planes was just a little late.
A little?
Yeah, just a little.
So Jeff was able to catch up with us last night around 12:30 in the morning?
One, 10,
all right.
15.
So around 1 a.m. So we're getting a little...
got a little hazy after the run.
Right. Well, I was going to get to that. So we had getting a little slow start this morning with the 1 a.m. arrival of our roommate, Jeff. We also enjoyed ourselves last night with some Cards Against Humanity and some rum and various other accoutrements. So, Matt, how was your arrival day? You were the other one who ran into some travel issues.
Actually, it went pretty smoothly.
Good.
You know, had to work, but, you know, other than that, it went well.
Right. And Terry, you know, a quick summary, because we didn't get a chance to record. You know, we had an ADR at Morimoto's last night.
Yeah, that was lots of fun.
It was.
Great food. The service. The service was a little below subpar, bordering on 4.
See, it was interesting. I mean, I
but
thought,
the food was very good.
Yeah, the food was excellent, and I'll give them credit. You know, it's a rather complex order in terms of very different kinds of food. Like, we had people eating sushi, people eating dim sum, people eating, you know, regular dishes came off the menu, so things were supposed to come out at different temperatures and different styles of things, and our food all came out the way it should have.
Yeah, the food was excellent.
But the attentiveness service was not what it probably should have been.
Nowhere close. I mean, the appetizers were just plopped down on the table with no attempt to get them to the correct positions, and that was very similar to the meal. The meal came out, I don't think they got anybody's correct on the first try.
Right. And that is
very odd when there's 5 of us.
Right.
Jeff Swearingen and his wife, Erica. Joe Masters, Aaron, and myself. And you'd think that after 4 people get their meal, that the 5th one would be correct. But that wasn't quite so. The drinks were good, but they never asked if we wanted refills. Joe, who said he'd start with an iced tea, was the only one that got a refill, and it came unasked. And he was looking for an alcoholic drink at that point. So they missed out on that.
Right. That's true.
But the food was...
The food was great. And the other thing is, and I almost forgot about this, is that, you know, I'd heard good things, and I'm a big fan of hot and sour soup, and I'd heard really good things about their hot and sour. I ordered it, and it never showed up. Now, they didn't charge me for it, so, you know, I guess that's to their credit, but it just means that the waiter didn't write it down and then didn't remember it. So that was a little frustrating.
They've been open, what, about a month now?
Yeah, they've been a while.
The bugs should have been worked out by the way.
Well, here's the weird thing. I've heard mostly positive things about their service, so I was surprised that it was as sloppy as it was last night. I almost wonder if a little bit of it is, and not to excuse it, but a little of it is our own, you know, we showed up sort of in spurts because of some travel issues.
Yeah, Joe and I were quite delayed. It took us nearly 2 hours to get from Animal Kingdom to Old Key West and then to Disney Springs. So with two modes of transportation, that was a little long, but we were late.
Yeah, and so we ended up, they seated us at the right time, but we ended up just sort of sitting there and waiting, and they came by to take orders a couple of times and kind of waved them on. Again, not to excuse not coming and checking on drinks or forgetting to bring, you know, one of the things I'd ordered, but I suspect that we threw the rhythm off with the way we arrived.
But it wasn't just that, though. I mean, a few times during the meal, we had other appetizers tried to be delivered to us.
Oh, that's true.
Other meals, like this one.
Yeah, expediters bringing out things to
order
the table.
The pork dumplings. Well, I did, but I've eaten them, and we're all in our entree here. That should be obvious.
Were they really busy?
They were busy.
They were.
It wasn't.
But it wasn't slammed.
But it was busy. It was consistent, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. There might be an open table here or there, but they were turning it.
But the food was excellent, particularly the branzini that you and Jeff had.
Yeah, there was a sweet and sour branzini that I was a little nervous about. I was afraid it would be too sweet. I don't normally order sweet and sour, but it really wasn't because the fish is served, the whole fish, served just sort of on top of the sauce.
Yeah.
And you get hints of the sauce, but it's not bathed in it. Like, you know, the deep fried sweet and sour you get at the Chinese buffet. And the fish was, I mean, amazing. It was, I've never had fish that perfectly cooked. It served, you know, as a whole fish. They somehow managed to debone it and serve it as a whole fish. And you access the meat from the top. It, you know, it's sliced in like you would fillet it, but not all the way through, right? And so you're eating with chopsticks because it's an Asian restaurant, and you just pick out the fish from inside. And it was, I mean, moist and rich flavor and perfectly cooked, and I can't say enough positive about it. It was excellent.
I enjoyed the fact that both you and Jeff had no problems eating food but staring at you.
The pictures on Facebook were not appetizing. I'm sorry.
I thought they were pretty cool.
The whole time the fish is looking at them and saying, "Oh, you're delicious."
But your friends.
Friends are delicious.
I thought the other standout was the crab rangoon. Didn't you?
No, that's seafood again.
Oh, that's seafood, right. Carrie doesn't do seafood.
Yeah.
The crab rangoon was incredible. Because, you know, most crab rangoon you get in Chinese restaurants these days, there's very little actual crab. You might get some imitation crab in there, but even the imitation crab is really mixed in with lots of cream cheese and other stuff. This still had that creamy texture, first of all, they were served different than, you know, usually you get that little kind of flower-shaped, you know, pinched together. These were served as long sort of tubes of wonton, and the reason I think it was done that way is because you got real crab meat, like, you know, crab leg meat, and so it was those long strands of crab meat in the crab rangoon. Really big pieces of real crab. Very tasty, and the dipping sauce was good as well. So, as Harry was pointing out, I guess, there were some negatives to the experience, but it was positive enough that I'm going to hang on to the February reservation I have with the family when we come back next month and give it another shot.
If the food is bad at a restaurant, you're not going to come back. If the food is good, but the service is bad, you can put it off to having a bad night, or you hope that the service will improve.
Yeah, yeah. I'm generally going to be more forgiving of a service error than I am a food error, because the service error is more likely to be, you know, a one-night thing, whereas if you're screwing up the food, I'm not trusting you to fix it next time.
Right.
We then transitioned directly from our review of the dinner the night before at Morimoto to sort of on-the-spot review of our breakfast at Olivia's as it arrived.
Our food has reached the table here at Olivia's, and it took a little longer than we would have liked, but it all does appear and smell really tasty. We've got a few different options here. Carrie and I are working on the banana French toast. Carrie, what's your first take? I ask you as you shove food in your mouth so that you can't answer in a timely fashion and sound silly.
It's pretty good. It's not as good as Tonga toast, but I'd come back for it.
I will say I like that it's not sickly sweet.
Yeah.
You know, it's not totally overdone on the sweet. Tonga toast is great, but it can be a bit of a sugar bomb. And Matt, you've got the omelet there.
Yes.
So what do you think of the omelet?
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm kind of so-so on the potato stuff. But that's just me. I'll probably still eat it, don't get me wrong.
And Jeff, biscuits and gravy, I always think that's sort of the true test of a breakfast restaurant, right? And whether they can handle the biscuits and gravy correctly.
I always think of it as a safe bet, so that's probably right along the same lines, yeah. It's actually very flavorful.
Excellent.
From Olivia's, we headed on out to Epcot. It was Epcot Day among most of the Diz Dads. There were some folks in some other parks as well. But we were focused on Epcot and, just had a really nice kind of leisurely day. It was one of those days where you appreciated the new FastPass Plus system. We wandered into Epcot sometime around, 11 o'clock or so, and still got our opportunities to ride the attractions that we really wanted to ride, even though we weren't there at Rope Drop to, dash ahead and pull tickets. Like I said, it really makes you appreciate that option. Got in, all of the attractions that we wanted to ride. We met up with Jay Gilbert's family and Coy Seipert, who was also there with his family at various points during the day. Enjoyed, if that's the word you could use, some Beverly with them, and also, rode some attractions. Test Track is one that comes to mind immediately that we enjoyed with Jay and his family. Just kind of like I said, it took our time meandering around Epcot. Mostly, we were focused on our late lunch / early dinner reservation at Beer Garden at 4 o'clock, which for a lot of people is sort of the unofficial start to the Diz Dads Club convention. We had a nice group at Beer Garden and really enjoyed things there. We're going to hear a bit of the discussion of Beer Garden in this next audio clip.
All right, so it's Thursday, June 7th, the second day of...
What day?
Thursday. Thursday. June 7th.
January
7th. It's Thursday, January 7th. June's the last time Diz Dads gathered at Walt Disney World together.
He was saying Randall had too much to drink.
Yeah, well. So it's Thursday, January 7th, the second night of Diz Dads convention for many of us. Some folks are just getting started, but we're hanging out next to Rose and Crown in the little kind of seating area for the drink kiosks, and we thought we would take a moment and talk a little bit about the dinner that we had, sort of an early dinner / late lunch, one or the other, at Beer Garden. And thought we'd just kind of get some firsthand reviews from people of the experience at Beer Garden. So, Scott, you just arrived most recently, so we'll let you start us off.
Well, Beer Garden was good as always. And the Dunkel Ohrsteiner beer that replaced the Hovels is a good replacement. Not as good as Hovels, but it's a good replacement. Some excellent soup, as opposed to the traditional leek soup that they normally have, the beer cheese soup that they had this evening was excellent. And coupled that with the pretzel bread, made for a nice combination.
All right. Sounds good. Paul or Joe, anything to add?
Yeah, I'd second Scott on the soup. super. They said that they were trying it with a different beer. I don't know if it was the Oktoberfest. Yeah. They were mixing it this time. I think it was the Oktoberfest. They were mixing it. I like beer, Randall. Do you like beer?
I like beer.
Randall also likes beer.
I like beer.
Terry likes beer, too.
You guys like beer?
I like beer.
It sounds like the whole group likes beer.
I loved beer.
Show was good as always, I thought. Rest of the food was okay. The salmon was all right. I didn't think the salmon was the best that they've ever done. But, again, you don't go to Beer Garden for the fish.
Right.
I guess in general.
Sausage.
So, but, again, I would... Sausage was good. Sausage was a fan favorite. So, good group. We had three tables. They put us up in the back corner, I think on purpose. We were far removed from the rest of the guests.
Those kids look pretty rowdy.
But overall, great experience, I think. Good times.
All right. Matt or Jeff, anything to add about the Beer Garden experience?
Sure. It was my first time eating there ever, so it was a whole new experience for me. One of my friends, my neighbor, she grew up in East Germany, so I had a good basis to compare everything. The food was right up there with what she makes, you know, every Thanksgiving invites us over. The rouladen was good. The dumplings was good. The purple sauerkraut, I mean, it was all just really good food. So good, I had two plates of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I went back for a second plate myself. Can't say I actually made it all the way through the second plate, but I made my best ever. I agree with Paul. I thought the soup was the best I've had there. Really did a terrific job on the beer cheese soup.
Say it had beer?
It did. It had beer. I like beer.
You like beer?
I do.
I like beer.
Hey, Randall, do you like beer?
I love beer. Wow.
And, let's see, other things that stood out. Actually, I thought the roast pork was really good. You know, often roast pork at a buffet like that can get dried out. This was not. It was good. Stood up well. The chutney for the condiment to it worked well, too. Let's see, Jeff tried schnitzel for the first time and seemed to be a fan.
Yes, it was very good. This was also my first time to eat there.
I was
impressed. It was very good.
Now, what did you have?
I knew somebody was going to ask me that, and I don't remember.
The honey Jaeger.
Honey Jaeger and bourbon shot.
Ah, honey Jaeger and bourbon.
And it was the size of two shots.
Right. Okay.
It was very good, very tasty.
Right. So a nice option for non-beer drinkers at...
Yeah.
We'll say Mr. Hummels.
Hey, Jeff, do you like beer?
Not really.
He likes tequila, so we're keeping him.
We're keeping him.
Do you like tequila?
Yes.
I like tequila. All right. Well, I think that's probably good for a review of Beer Garden. We all had a good time. It was a lot of fun. Show was great. Joe did some periscoping live of the show. Hope some people got to enjoy that. And we certainly enjoyed the experience and all had a good time. Now we're hanging out waiting for Illuminations to start.
The spot where we recorded that audio clip about Beer Garden bears mentioning. It's where we watched Illuminations on Thursday night. And it's a little spot over next to where Rose and Crown is. There's a pathway that runs sort of right next to where the check-in is to Rose and Crown. Check-in is on one side for Rose and Crown, and the other side is the beer cart. And there's a path that leads to a seating area. That seating area is a terrific place to watch Illuminations. There are places to sit, obviously beer close by, which is something that's important to the group that I was watching Illuminations with. Really a pleasant experience watching Illuminations there. You do have to get there early. It is a space that does fill up and it got a little crowded, but it was worth getting there early and getting our spot. The view there was spectacular. Now we spent the day on Thursday at Hollywood Studios. It wasn't a long day there, really. We just spent part of the day there, focused mostly on experiencing some of the new Star Wars elements that have been introduced as part of the Star Wars launch bay. So we did go in and, as a group, we went and rode Toy Story Midway Mania together. We rode Tower of Terror together. We rode Star Tours together. But I think that the thing that stands out about this, you know, touring day the most to me is the time we spent in the Launch Bay area. They've really done a nice job sort of with the Star Wars presence in what was the animation building. There are, you know, movie props all around, lots of good things to look at, and great opportunities to meet characters. We met both Chewbacca and Darth Vader. I actually thought that the Chewbacca meet and greet was really the more interactive of the two, which surprised me a bit, because the Vader meet and greet has a reputation as being one of the most interactive, you know, all around. But, you know, Chewbacca was great. He was, you know, I was wearing my Vader shirt and he didn't want to get near me at first. And he was playful about it. I think it may have simply been an issue of him being able to see a little better out of his costume than Vader could, because Vader didn't seem to react to the fact that I was, you know, wearing a shirt that declared Darth Vader the number one dad much at all. But, you know, I was glad that we spent the time. It was worth waiting in line to meet both of those characters, because it's not an opportunity you ordinarily get if you haven't been to a Star Wars weekend before. So that was terrific. Other than that, you know, like I said, we did all the standbys at Hollywood Studios. The only other element that really stood out is going to be discussed in this next audio clip. So I'm going to defer the discussion to that, I think. But you know, we did have lunch as a group at 50s Primetime Cafe, so that's going to get talked about in the audio clip. The clip was recorded as we were beginning Friday night's group activity, which was our, now I guess we can call it, annual bar crawl. Last year we did a bar crawl along the monorail route. We did a monorail bar crawl. This year we decided to try something a little different, and we did a Crescent Lake bar crawl. We started at the Bellevue Room, which is at Boardwalk Inn. And so this next recording was done at the Bellevue Room, and we progressed on from there. We've got a lot more audio, and I think that audio is probably going to take us on into the Sunday show. So what I think we'll do is I'm going to go to that audio clip from the Bellevue Room. You'll hear a review or discussion a bit of the experience at 50s Primetime Cafe, and then we'll wrap up the Wednesday piece of the review of the Diz Dads Club Convention 2016.
All right. So in the tradition of Diz Dads Club Crawls, we'll go ahead and get some audio that I can cut together and stick on a podcast later. So anybody have thoughts from the day, things that went well, what did you do that you enjoyed, what do you think of Bellevue?
Bellevue is awesome, but my drink is gone.
So is CJ's.
Good point. I'd watch your mouth, she might show up. Yeah.
CJ's the fastest drinker I ever saw.
Well, it helps when he doesn't use his mouth for all the drinking. But skin absorption makes things go much faster.
So yeah, we started out the morning Disney Hollywood Studios, did some walkthrough and people seeing, got a fast pass in here and there, and had a great lunch at 50s Primetime Cafe. Excellent, excellent waitress that was very playful. She was playing a role.
Okay, it really, I can't complain about that. It was a little small, but we did have a party of what? 14? Yeah.
10 checks?
Right. Party of 14 with 10 checks? You know, a little slow, but.
But she was throwing the punches and keeping up with the humor. Great participants. The shakes all around. There was at least three peanut butter and jelly shakes we all enjoyed.
Those
are
delicious.
So, yeah.
Yeah? You have that. Oh, that's a good call.
I know how much they charge for that shot of blue there, but that shot was half a glass.
I like how they measure a shot.
Oh, yeah.
So we put the bartender here at Bellevue through his paces pretty well. We've got
everything from, you know, vodka tonics to old fashions and Moscow mules and
Pimm's
cups, everything in between. How did our friend here do?
He did good.
Very good.
I asked for a Crown and Coke, and I think he shorted me on the Coke.
Room to move around.
Nine of us. And we're all sitting around very comfortably. And this is
nobody has to sit on Paul's lap.
But there was a chair too.
Right?
No.
Yeah, it was probably about four of us that left Hollywood Studios, and we thought we were going to catch a boat, but the boat filled up before we got there, so we took the walk from Hollywood Studios over to Boardwalk. So if you're ever in the area and you want to see great scenery and enjoy a just comfortable, serene walk, that walk is one to take.
Good job.
Watch out for the gators.
Watch out for the gators.
Come in. Give him room. Give him room.
Oh, we're letting him carry his own?
Second try? Well, let's get him one of those BB-8.
It always makes it to the table.
Who was assigned to CJ?
So the bar crawl proceeds from the Bellevue Room onto Martha's Vineyard, and we have a rather long chunk of audio from Martha's Vineyard that I think is probably worth sharing. I don't know. I'm going to have to cut it down a bit because we spent a good chunk of time there. I had a really good time at Martha's Vineyard. There was a musician playing there who got a kick out of the 14 guys who were traveling together and all hanging out at the bar together. So. In any case, we had some fun with them and want to be able to play a good chunk of that and don't want to run too long on the Wednesday show. So we'll pick up with Martha's Vineyard on Sunday and get some more reporting and input from people on the Diz Dads Club convention. But, you know, I want to say we had a great time really across the board. You've heard us talking about it. We had a great time just hanging out together, doing things, at the resort. Got together that first night with some guys playing some Cards Against Humanity, you know, having a few beverages. We watched some football games back at the resort. We also had, great experiences dining together and then, the bar crawl together. Bottom line is we just all had a really great time hanging out together. And so hope that next year, if you haven't been to Diz Dads convention before, you come out and give it a shot. If you've been before, you already know this. And so my guess is you're already making plans to come back for Diz Dads Club convention 2017. But it's going to be the fifth, so it should be bigger and better than ever. And we're going to be looking forward to celebrating that fifth anniversary. So looking forward to being able to share some more with you on Sunday, and we'll be back with a more mainstream trip report for you next Wednesday on the Dad Show. Thanks for listening.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. Never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.